Hello, everyone, and welcome to The New Yorkers, a podcast by New York City Cop. I'm your host, Kelly Cop, a published photographer, New York City tour business owner, real estate content creator, podcaster, and above all else, a New Yorker.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next Brooklyn-bound train is now arriving.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
With me today, I have executive producer of the New Yorkers podcast, Jay Watson. He is an assistant editor for film and TV, freelance photographer and videographer, and a theater writer, director, and producer. But above all else, he is a New Yorker. Welcome back to the show, Jay. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Kelly. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good to see you and to be sitting across from you on the table here doing a podcast with you. It is a new studio.
Kind of fun.
I like it. I like it like this. I like that we're at this little, well, it's not a little table. It's a nice table. Yeah. And it's, we got our stuff around us and our notes and all that stuff.
Oh, we're going to need our notes today because why don't you tell them what we're doing?
Today, we are going to answer your pressing questions about New York City, my friends. On Sunday, Jay and I walked around Soho doing a live video tour. And we asked you guys to send us your questions. So today, Jay and I are going to answer your questions, and we will talk about them and give you our best answers.
Sweet. I'm excited. And our first one is from Elizabeth N. Mujia, and she says, are we safe hanging out and going to the upper and lower east and west side?
Are we safe? That's a great question that we get often just in general about New York City.
Yeah, it's a time-honored question.
It's probably the most asked question in my life.
Which is why it's the first on the list.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, it is a great question, and we're going to answer it. So, you know, Jay asked, what was that, upper west side, east
upper
side?
Upper and lower east and west side.
Okay. So we'll start upper east side, upper west side. Very safe. I don't have any issues or questions or qualms, if you will. But you know what? I don't even think about it. I never even think about being unsafe. I don't worry about my safety. I walk, take the subway. I just don't think about it. I mean, yeah, they're very safe. They're great neighborhoods. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think what's great about the Upper East and West Side is that they're very residential. It's a lot of families that live there and families that have lived there for generations.
Right.
They pass down their apartments to their kids and their kids to their other kids. And it just stays a very residential, family-oriented neighborhood, which is where my grandmother lives and where I spent a lot of time on the Upper East Side. So
right.
I'd say I feel very comfortable.
I do too. I mean, I'm on the Upper West Side more because, yeah, as you know, a lot of you know, I live in Washington Heights, which right. is above the Upper West Side, above Harlem, and then there's Washington Heights. And I'm always on the West Side. That's kind of my route with the subway, be it the 1 train, the A train, the C train. And I walk around there and do live videos, as most of you know, too, on the Upper West Side. That's mostly the side I'm on. And it's a lot of amazing restaurants, people sitting outside, eating. People walking around. Again, like you said, it's very family oriented. A lot of families live there too and pass their homes down to their children and so on. I just think it's a great neighborhood. I just never, ever, think about anything but how beautiful it is on the west side. You know, here I am looking for, you know, to show everyone New York City. And I do New York City videos, I'd say pretty much every day. And it's hard for me to hide things. I can't hide things on my videos. Yeah. And I'm speaking for all, mostly Manhattan too. I mean, there's nothing to hide and you would see if it was unsafe in any of these areas, in addition to ones that we're not talking about right now.
Yeah.
You know, just meaning Manhattan a lot in general.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for the Lower East and West Side, although we call Lower West Side the West Village.
But, correct.
I think those are a bit younger usually. People that live there are younger. And it's a lot of parties and fancy restaurants and that kind of thing for the West Village anyway.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I love to walk through the West Village as well. And just today I did a walking tour, had a great time. And we meandered through the streets of the West Side, and we saw all the great restaurants. We saw the Sex and the City house, you know, Carrie Bradshaw's house. We saw the Friends apartment. You know, we saw Bleecker Street Pizza. We saw the famous Joe's Pizza from the Spider-Man movie.
Nice.
You know, and then we meandered across the Greenwich Village, if you will, which is in between the West Village and East Village. And we saw Washington Square Park, McDougal Street, all that. And then we didn't go to the East Village, but I did a tour recently in the East Village too, just last week. And what I love about the East Village, it has its whole different flavor to it. It has its whole different vibe. It's actually a lot more gritty.
Yeah,
it's like the older, gritty New York City, which people like to see.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of immigrants moved there when they
came here. That's a good point.
It has a lot of different immigrant neighborhoods.
Yep, that's a really good point. That's very true. And we went to Economy Candy that has, you know, it's like, I think 137 years old, that candy store. Are you familiar with it?
That's, we went last Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On the live video.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. I'm sorry, Jay. I had a great, really fun day doing a tour. But yeah, so I don't, any of those neighborhoods, so Upper East Side, Upper West Side, the West.
Upper East Side and...
Greenwich Village and the West Village.
Yeah.
So all those, you know, I mean, I just don't really, those are all in Manhattan too. And they're all great neighborhoods. I don't really feel unsafe actually in Manhattan anywhere, basically, hardly.
I think we covered them all.
Yeah. That's a good question. So Jay, Carrie Huggins asks, how many days should I plan on visiting to get a good New York feel? And Trina Delisle asks, which borough is the best to visit for the first time? Something that has a lot of history, things to do and see besides Times Square.
So I'd say that if you're planning a trip to the city, you should plan for 5 to 7 days. I always say, if you're going anywhere really, that you should plan a day for rest and recuperation.
Just correct.
Getting back from traveling. Traveling always takes a lot out of me anyway. and I'm not even that old. So
you're very young, actually.
I'd say
the 20s.
If you're traveling to New York City, 5 to 7 days, plan a day to just rest, relax, maybe check out the area that you're staying in, what's around, because each neighborhood has a lot to offer. And then you can venture out and see different things. As for which borough, I think the question kind of says in it that they're not asking for Manhattan. So I'd say that if not Manhattan, because Manhattan would be my answer,
right?
You should stay in Brooklyn because it's where my family's from. So I'm kind of like biased.
You live in Brooklyn now.
I live in Brooklyn. And it's, I think it has a lot to offer. You can stay close to Manhattan and you can see a lot of the stuff. Take the train into the city and see all that stuff. But it also has a lot to offer with Prospect Park, has the Dumbo area, it has the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens, has the Brooklyn Museum. So if you like history, if you like nature, if you like New York City views, Brooklyn is also a great option for you to stay if you're coming for the first time.
Yeah, I think so too. I like Brooklyn a lot as well. You know, in addition, you know, outside of Manhattan, I do like the Bronx.
Yeah.
You know, there's Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
Speaking of history, there's Yankee Stadium there.
Yeah.
You know, and then just a few blocks up is going to be the Joker's stairs from the movie The Joker that people like to see. You know, actually I do a tour and this is what we see too. But, you know, and but they have the Bronx, the famous Bronx mural in the Bronx, and they have just a block up all these other, you know, it's the where hip hop started, and that's where the hip hop mural is too, right there by the Bronx mural. So those are really cool things to see. People don't think to go up there and see that. And I think it's really cool. You know, I do a lot of tours up there too, and I love it. I love the area. I also love how the subway is above ground up in the Bronx.
Yeah.
And it's that classic, like, you know, TV show, like Law and Order or something, you know, where you see the subway overground. I mean, above ground, overhead. It's really cool. Elevated train. Yeah. They're really cool. I like it.
It is.
Yeah. Nice.
So, Carrie Huggins asks again, how many steps do you get in a day?
How many steps do I get in a day?
You walk a lot.
That's a tough question to answer because depends. I do a lot of tours right now and probably around 30,000 steps a day average.
Wow.
Then if I'm not doing a tour, probably 15,000.
That's still a lot. I think.
Yeah.
For context, I mean, I don't really do much. I go to work and I come do this.
That's a lot.
So, but yeah. I only have 4,000 steps today. So you kind of have triple that.
Right. But I mean, I'm doing live videos all over the city. I'm running around doing, you know, getting content.
Yeah. So
because
you're walking a lot.
The city itself is my job in a sense, you know, so I have to be all over the city for what I do to bring it in, to bring New York City into everybody's homes. Because I want to, and I want to share this beautiful city with everybody.
Yeah, you ruin your feet in the process.
Yes, I need new tennis shoes, actually. Just today, I need new tennis shoes, because just today I was noticing my sneakers were starting to get a little frayed.
Yeah, I need new shoes too. Maybe we can get a sponsor. Shoe sponsor.
Yes, we do, for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously. Okay, Jay, here's another great question. Lindsay Jordan asks, what are your top 5 non-touristy places?
So I had a list of others, but I just, when we were talking about the Bronx, I want to suggest Riverdale, because I feel like Riverdale is a not very known neighborhood.
I was just going to say, I don't even know where Riverdale is.
Yeah, it's like...
Sorry, listeners, I'm supposed to know New York City so well that I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the border. I think most people probably don't know about it, and it's pretty, like, I don't say it's secretive, but it's definitely out of the way, but it's on the border of Westchester and the Bronx. It's kind of known for being on the wealthier side. It's very residential.
I guess I have somewhat heard of it.
Yeah, it's very residential. There's a lot of, I think the why you should go visit it is because there's a lot of really nice houses.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really big houses. There are a lot of really like mansions and like wealthy people live over in Riverdale.
I need to go check it. I need to go check
it
out.
Yeah, and it's very green too. They keep, there's a lot of trees. There's a lot of parks. It's very like,
it's in the Bronx?
Yeah, it's in
where?
The Bronx. On the Hudson River side of the Bronx.
Oh, I know where it is.
Yeah.
I've seen some videos of the beautiful houses. I do need to go up there. I'd love to go. Let's go one day.
Yeah,
do you know your way around a little there?
The reason why I know about it is because our school, where I went to high school, we played sports with schools in Riverdale. So we went to Riverdale to play like sports games and fencing. So we had a few matches over.
Sounds like a TV show.
Fencing?
No, it's Riverdale.
Oh, well, it is a TV show. Yeah.
Fencing.
I don't know if Riverdale is, does Riverdale take place in Riverdale?
No, I think it's like, it's like a fictitious show. I've never seen it.
Me neither.
That joke just didn't go over well. Sorry. So
I just don't know pop culture. Yeah.
That's funny.
But yeah, I'd say Riverdale in Queens, the World's Fair area where they had the World's Fair, and was that 19 whatever?
Oh, I don't know. Like 50s?
I think so.
Yeah.
50s. I still have some of the like constructions from it. Mm-hmm. And so like whenever I'm going into Queens, you pass over the bridge and see the World's Fair.
Very cool. Yeah.
I'd say Prospect Park and the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens over in central Brooklyn.
Nice.
Are great places that aren't very touristy. What else?
That was 1964. Just to let you know.
Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. For the World's Fair. I don't know. Do you have any?
I do.
Touristy areas?
So things to do in non-touristy areas. This is what I recommend. This is what I like to do.
Okay.
I hope these apply. I like to do the movies around the city in the summertime.
Oh, okay.
So for instance, at Brooklyn Bridge Park, they put up those inflatable movie screens.
Yeah.
And you can sit there and and you're facing Lower Manhattan with the screen right there between you and Lower Manhattan. And so there's tons of people on the lawn in Brooklyn Bridge Park, which on the very kind of like the south end of Brooklyn Bridge Park. And you're sitting there and you see the movie and you see Lower Manhattan. And it's at nighttime too, with the city all lit up. It's really beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And it's all locals mostly. Yeah. It gets packed and it's really cool. There's another one in movie that they do in Long Island City in Gantry Park. Same principle. You're sitting there on the lawn and you see the movie, and then behind it you see the Empire State Building and the whole skyline.
Wow, that's awesome.
I love doing those. That's such a, it's a very local thing to do.
Yeah.
It's really nice, and it's a great vibe too. And another thing I like to do, which is I think it's just in a couple of days. Jay, you got to go.
What
I'm about to bring up. It's on the 12th. It's in 6 days, a week from yesterday, I guess.
No, today. Oh, a week from yesterday.
Yeah, a week from yesterday. And it's the New York Philharmonic plays in Central Park for free. It's a free concert. They do it once a year, every year, in June.
Yeah.
And it's 30, 40, 50,000 people on the Great Lawn in Central Park, all locals, and everybody has their blankets out shoulder to shoulder though. And everybody's all having fun as we all mingle together as New Yorkers. And the New York Philharmonic obviously is probably one of the top orchestras, in my opinion, in the world. And I guess I see them every year. And then when the concert is over, there's free fireworks behind you, you know, the opposite direction over Bethesda Terrace. Okay. And so you see the skyline of all the, you know, all the pencil skyscrapers now that you see at the bottom of Central Park with all the beautiful fireworks going off.
That's
it's truly incredible. And I love it. So it's one of my favorite things to do. I mentioned it on my live videos. So people listening right now may remember me saying that.
Yeah.
But if you're here,
this should air on Sunday. So you'll be able to go.
Yeah. So if you're here June 12th in New York City, it's free. Get there a little bit early because the lawn gets packed, but it's truly, I'd say it's one of my top five things I look forward to every single year.
Okay.
I mean, as soon as January hits, I'm they don't really get the dates out till later, but I'm always trying to find the date when they do it. I love it.
So, Loretta Herbie Kreiner says, I travel to New York by train and come into Penn Station. Any suggestions for hotels near there?
I do. That's a great question because my good friend Vicky, I've talked about in the live videos too. Vicky Worley, she's a great person. And we went to see right there is Madison Square Garden. And we went to see the Eagles. We went to go see the Eagles. Who else did we see there? We saw Reba McEntire and she's incredible. I think we saw somebody else. I can't remember. But anyway, so Vicky stayed at what was it called? It was the Fairfield Inn Hotel right there on 33rd Street, literally a stone's throw from Madison Square Garden. And it was so convenient. It actually has a really cool rooftop. I didn't know about it too. But that's a really, I'd say it's relatively inexpensive. It's truly just across from Moynihan train station right there.
Okay. Yeah, it's really convenient.
Yes, which has my favorite food court too. But anyway, so it's right there. It's called the Fairfield Inn Hotel. Has a great rooftop right there on 33rd and 8th.
Okay.
And then another one is one that we all know is the New Yorker.
Right.
The New Yorker Hotel right there at 34th Street.
No affiliation.
Oh, with us, the New Yorkers podcast. That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't catch that. Yeah. So the New Yorker Hotel, great hotel. Most people know about it. It's very famous anyway. So I'm starting like the Fairfield Inn, I think is a little bit more for people's budget,
okay.
You know, for my budget, I'll say, you know, and, the New Yorker is the next tier. It's decent price. And then bring up a third hotel at Hudson Yards and it's the Equinox Hotel.
Mm.
It's expensive. Okay. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah, but everything in Hudson Yards is
pretty expensive. But it's really pretty. It's a beautiful hotel.
Yeah.
But if you have the money, stay at Equinox Hotel right there. It's right next to the Vessel. You know, at Hudson Yards, you're actually overlooking the Vessel. It's a beautiful view, beautiful photos. It's really, really elegant, really nice. But those are the three hotels that I recommend.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, living in New York, I usually don't really have a need for hotels.
Correct.
But yeah, I'd say that stay in the area where you're going to be doing the most of your stuff because traveling is not fun when you're already traveling.
Yeah, I agree. So Jay, Eduardo Terrazas asks, what's your all-time favorite New York pizza spot? Now that is a question. That's a hard one.
It is a hard question. There's so many pizza shops on
a good
every
one
single
and a hard one. Yeah.
Block of New York. I think that for me, I really like Rocco's Pizza in Chelsea.
Oh, wow. I've never had it.
Yeah. It's partially because I worked there. Like I worked around the corner. So like I would always go to Rocco's. They have a really good slice of pizza and they make really good garlic knots. So it's a great combo and I miss it. I haven't been in a while because we don't work over there anymore. I always make sure if I'm in the area and I want pizza, I'll go to Rocco's.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Rocco's is great. And then
are there more than one location? Is there one more?
I think that's their only one.
Huh.
Yeah. I think there are other like Rocco's Pizza, but like the Rocco's Pizza that I'm talking about it's the only one in Chelsea. I think I want to say it's 16th Street on 8th Avenue.
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know it.
I'll have to take you.
Yeah.
And then
you buying?
Well, the other thing that I like about it is that at the very least they had a lunch special, and it was two slices of pizza and a drink, a water or a small soda for, I think it was $7.
Well, that's cheap.
Which was really good.
For New York especially. Wow.
Yeah. So that's whenever I wanted a cheap lunch, I would go there. Go and get pizza. But yeah, I'd say Rocco's or the Famous Joe's Pizza in the West Village.
Yeah.
They're cash only though. So if you're going, make sure that.
Is that on Bleecker? The one on Bleecker?
I think it's off Bleecker. Off I don't Bleecker. Think it's on Bleecker, but it's like right off Bleecker. I'd say Joe's Pizza. It's always crowded, but they have a more thin crust. I think Rocco's is a more thick crust pizza. Not like thick Chicago thick, but like. Joe's is super thin, and I'd say like Rocco's is a medium thin. But yeah, I don't know. I think Joe's, the way that they cook it, and it's done to, it's done to perfection. And yeah.
Is that the Spider-Man pizza
place?
Yeah,
that's where.
Yeah, can you tell them?
They Spider-Man, in the first Spider-Man movie, Peter Parker in the beginning of the movie is working as a pizza delivery boy, and he's working for Joe's Pizza in the West Village, so...
I just took my friends on the tour today. I said, we're going to go see the Spider-Man pizza place.
Yeah.
Is that Tobey Maguire? Do you know?
Tobey Maguire, yes. And in Joe's, they have a plaque, I guess, of the movie title with in the restaurants.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, you took me there last week.
I did.
I didn't even know it. Could you believe it? I didn't even know about that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lesser known thing. My one of my good friends loves Joe's Pizza.
So yeah, it is really good.
He took me and he was like, oh, you got to see Joe's Pizza. So.
Well, you know, the pizzas I like, you know, this is going to be kind of funny to some people who live here. Where I live in Washington Heights, just around the block, my same block, but the opposite side is Coronet Pizza. It's K-O-R-O-N-E-T, Coronet Pizza. The slices are humongous. You only need one. Probably the biggest slices I've seen in the city.
They're huge.
Yeah, and it's so good.
Yeah.
Do you like it too?
Yeah, I love Coronet.
I love Coronet.
Yeah, Coronet's great.
I think they're all over the city.
They are.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And then what else do I like? Oh, a lot of people know one of my favorites that some of our listeners here will know is Front Street Pizza.
Right.
That's down
in
the
shirt right now.
Oh, I am. I forgot. I didn't even realize that. That wasn't even planned.
Advertising.
Yeah. And so they're right there on Front Street and Washington Street, where the famous street is, where, you know, you see that view of the Manhattan Bridge with the Empire State Building in the middle at the end of the street. It's that classic, most Instagrammable spot in the world.
Nice.
But anyway, so Front Street Pizza is also when we do our Christmas tours on the buses, Marco's Christmas tours, my Christmas to New York, and we go to Diker Heights, and then we come back to Dumbo, and we go to Front Street Pizza. And it's so good. Actually, this year we stopped doing the pizza, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, we just modified the tour just to do other things in Dumbo. So actually, you guys are hearing that first here. But got to talk to Marco now. Tell people. But I love it. That's one of my favorites. But you know what? In addition, real quick, some people don't know this, but let's talk about this real quick. Do you know why New York City has the best pizza and best bagels?
Is it the water?
Actually, yeah, it is, but it's kind of interesting. I thought you would be like, I know, but you don't.
Is it not the water?
It is the water, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I watched a game theory about the best, or I guess it was a food theory about the best pizza, why New York has the best pizza.
Right, and bagels, too, and because the water, and you know, because it's the crust of the pizza and the bagels.
Yeah.
And do you know where it comes from?
The water?
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes from a reservoir in upstate New York.
Yeah, it does. Good.
Yeah, do you want to know why?
The Croton Reservoir.
Yeah.
Or go ahead.
This is a cool history fact, but Teddy Roosevelt, when he was governor of New York, made the New York water system public owned company. He made the New York water, he made the preservation of New York water a public government thing. So it's not a private thing. And so that way the government handles the water and make sure that it's good for us to drink, and it's not like a private company giving the worst product for the best price.
Wow, you just taught me something.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Teddy Roosevelt's the champion of New York. He's like
New York's clean water.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that's so interesting, Jay. And what's funny is when I first moved to New York, it was on, you know, over a decade ago now. And my very first glass of water here, I remember it was on August 1st. and it was summer, it was hot, and I was sweating.
That's so funny.
And so remember, I'm from Florida too,
right,
where the water tasted like sulfur. Mm-hmm. It didn't taste the best. I was just used to it.
Yeah.
But I remember, no joke, my first glass of water, I filled up my glass of water. It was cold. Mm-hmm. I remember it being cold. I took my first chug, drank the whole glass actually. And I realized for the first time in my life, it had like crispness. It had texture. It had flavor. Yeah. That it was so clean. And I just remember all the different elements. And I was like, wow. But I didn't know the facts that we're talking about right now about where it came from and all that, what you just said.
Yeah, no, I just find it interesting because I always forget that we're so privileged because I'll
take it for granted.
I'll travel around the country and like try and have water. Yeah. Like I just can't. Like you literally just like can't have water. Like you have to get a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. Or you have to get, like they just don't have tap water, which is insane to me.
Right. That's true.
Because I grew up like just, you want water, go to the sink and pour a glass
of water. Right. Because you grew up here. Like, yeah, you grew up here. I forgot. Yeah. I mean, I didn't forget, but yeah. I took that for granted that you grew up here. Yeah, it's just interesting. I just remember that first glass of water. So
that's so funny.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to talk about because
it is
the pizza and the bagels that we're known for, and that's why it's so good they're so good is because of the water.
Yeah. Thank you, Teddy Roosevelt.
Exactly.
So the next question is from Chris Ellis, and they ask, what other unique events take place in New York City, like Manhattan Henge and Dumbo Drop? When do they take place, and which are your favorite ones?
Let's take a quick break.
Hey there, I'm Bellamy Young. I'm an actor and a producer. I've been working with the global humanitarian organization, CARE, and I am so excited to invite you along for my new podcast, She Leads with CARE. Each week, you'll meet some incredible women who have changed their lives and their communities.
We raise our voices for people who don't raise their voices to defend themselves.
Listen to She Leads with CARE now on your favorite podcast platform. New episodes every Tuesday.
Huh, that's a question that's making me think. There's a lot of things going on in the city and throughout the year. And first thing that comes to mind is the musical chairs in Bryant Park that I just recorded the other night.
Oh yeah, that just happened. There's a viral live video, or not live video, but a video.
I did a lot. Well, yeah, no, wasn't it? You're right. It was a reel.
Yeah.
But. It was so fun. It's 900 people, 900 New Yorkers.
That's crazy.
Yeah, at Bryant Park. Yeah. And they win the coveted Bryant Park chair. Hmm. I'm not saying, it's like the Bryant Park lawn chair. I don't know if I'm saying the correct name, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, which is really cool. I heard they won some money, but I wasn't sure.
Do they get to take it home with them?
They get to take it home, this beautiful Bryant Park chair, lawn chair. It's really cool. And it's so fun. And it's just to go from 900 to the one person. It takes a couple hours and it's just so fun. And people get really cutthroat.
People
get really physical and aggressive, you know?
Yeah.
And as you saw in some of my videos about it, you know, people are just pushing the people off the chairs and fighting. And it's just, as a spectator, it's really funny. It's a really good time. I mean, the crowd too is just going crazy and cheering and laughing, and it's just so fun. And it's funny because the MC, she's really good. And she was, you know, they have to change the type of dance for each.
Right. Yeah.
For each set, you know.
Keep it interesting.
And she was having people like do all these different types of funny dances and walking. It was so fun. And just as people were really get into it. So I want to be actually in it next year.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
You know, if you do it with me, we'll get in the same circle and we will be like cutthroat with you. It's really fun. Another one is every year they generally do, hopefully they do it this year. And in the middle of winter, they do an ice carving festival in Central Park.
Ooh.
And that's really cool. They use a chainsaw.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That sounds intense.
Yeah, I really love watching it. I actually photographed it for Central Park a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. I loved it. It was just, it's amazing to watch people carve ice with a chainsaw. Something I will never master.
No.
I don't think so. But yeah, I think that another one is the Easter Bonnet Parade too.
Oh, yeah. You're gonna tell
so
me what's that.
The Easter Bonnet Parade, I think I'm going to be in it this year.
Really? You're going to wear a little Easter bonnet?
Well, see, my good friend Chris and his wife Emily were in it last year, and she is this incredible seamstress.
Okay.
And she creates these amazing costumes. And so she, for Chris and herself, she made these beautiful floral costumes, you know, because what the Easter Parade is, it's not like a parade that you would think of, like a regular parade with a float and everything. It's just people dressing up in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral, in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral right there. I think it's from the stretch on Fifth Avenue from maybe, let's say, 52nd down to, you know, 47th or something.
Okay.
It's a stretch of people all dressed up or not dressed up, but it's really fun. People do the most creative costumes. It's really interesting. It's a very unique New York festival that they do every, it's on Easter Sunday too. Sure. So it's really fun. So this year, I think we're kind of talking about how I can be the third person involved.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be this year. We're talking, well, I won't tell you what we're going to do.
We'll be next year.
Yeah, we have a really good idea. But I think that really, you know, really, really covers what I think. And lastly, let me just throw in the Christmas tree, the famous Rockefeller Center Christmas tree when it arrives in New York City.
Okay.
Not the tree lighting, but when the tree arrives on the huge truck from wherever it comes from that year, it's all wrapped up and it pulls into Rockefeller Center. It's really cool because when that tree pulls in, Christmas is here. That season starts, the feeling is here. It's amazing. I say everybody should go that can, has the opportunity to go watch it pull in. And this year, Christmas is a week later, almost at December 1st.
Mm.
So Christmas is a week, season is a week shorter this year. So it's going to be quick and fast this year. So if you can, come see the Christmas tree pull in from at Rockefeller Center.
Yeah. And speaking of Christmas, if you are here during Christmas time, I always recommend the holiday train show, the Botanical Gardens.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah. My favorite thing to do for Christmas. And it's basically toy or model trains set to the max, where they build beautiful landscapes of the city in the gardens, in the greenhouses, and have the trains run through the plants and the recreations of New York City monuments with wood and natural ingredients, with the trains running through it. It's just really cool. So.
You know, I've heard such great stuff about it. And believe it or not, I've never been there.
You've never been?
I know. You think
oh
I would.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Yeah, and I want to do it. Did you say it's like Grand Central Terminal?
No.
Brooklyn.
The Bronx Botanical Gardens.
Yeah, which is, the Bronx?
Bronx Botanical Gardens, yeah.
So we have, let me be clear here. We have just for my own knowledge, and then people will know this too, but I need to be clear for myself. So we have the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
Yeah.
The New York Botanical Gardens, which are in the Bronx. Yeah.
I think the Queens has one too.
Queens has one too.
I'm pretty sure.
So
it's smaller.
So where is the train one?
In the New York Botanical Gardens in the Bronx.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's New York Botanical in the Bronx.
Yeah.
I'm just for myself getting clarified.
Yeah.
You're
good.
Perfect. Yeah. I want to go. I've always wanted to go. Every year I see it coming and then every year.
Well, I mean, you're so busy, but.
Oh, that's true. It's during Christmas season. Yeah.
But
I was like, why have I never gone? Yeah.
But I think it also extends to the first 2 weeks in January.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. So you could still see it in January.
I really need to do it. You know what? In addition, you know what's really cool? Is the train, what's it called? The train?
Holiday train
show. Holiday train show. They also do the holiday subway, like the holiday.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to,
trains.
That's really cool.
It is really cool.
Because you can ride, and it's like from the 50s or, you know, from the 50s, the trains and they're, and then people dress up in 50s garb.
Oh, that's so
you
cool.
You didn't know that? So cool. So most of the people on the train, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think they do it two times a year during Christmas season.
Yeah.
And you can ride the holiday subway.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called specifically. I wish I knew the specific name.
Yeah.
But that's really cool. You just reminded me to add that on in addition.
Yeah.
You
know? Train stuff.
Train stuff. Jay, this question is a good question too, because people see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Elizabeth N. Mujia. I hope I'm saying your name right, Elizabeth. She's asking, what's scaffolding?
So scaffolding is protection that construction workers put over the sidewalk to make sure that when they're doing inspections or building improvements, that debris doesn't fall onto the sidewalk and hit pedestrians.
Yeah.
In the most layman's terms.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. I agree. You know, as a photographer, the scaffolding drives me crazy.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it is. But, you know, I'll tell you, after I did a little bit of reading about the scaffolding and the reason for the scaffolding, like you said too, you know, it's a law that the scaffolding has to be every 5 years, they require inspections on the buildings.
Right.
And so, you know, like you said, for falling debris and things like that. So when I realized that was the case, I was like, okay, I'm cool with it. It's for safety. It's to save people's lives, basically.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so, but the problem is, which I don't know why they can't fix this or make a law to change this, because some of the scaffolding can stay up to a decade.
Yeah.
You know, and for instance, the beautiful Flatiron building, which has gone through different owners and it's been on this chaos the last few years.
Right.
It has had scaffolding on the Flatiron building has been under scaffolding for before the pandemic. I mean, I don't even know how many years. I don't even know how many years. It's almost like a joke.
Yeah.
You know, with us photographers, we post photos on Instagram or Facebook and say, remember this building? Does anybody know what this is? You know, because it's ridiculous. You know, it's such a beautiful, iconic building in New York City.
It is.
And it's been under scaffolding for so long. I know I'm being kind of whiny about it. I'm sorry. But it's a beauty and I want to photograph it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got to say.
All right.
And that's a good question too.
Dormson Cook asks, Kelly, would you recommend having a hot dog from one of the food trucks? If so, which one is your favorite?
Wow. Dormson. I know Dormson too. Hey, Dormson. So, gosh, I would, yes. And what we call them too is a dirty dog.
Mm.
Do you know that term, Jay?
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't eat meat, so I...
Oh, well, yeah, that's a good point. I always forget that for some reason. I don't know why I always forget that. But yeah, so a dirty dog is just the hot dogs in the water, the dirty water, so to speak.
So
we call them dirty dogs sometimes here. And, but yeah, I would definitely get one. And I'm thinking of Times Square, actually. That's where I'm thinking.
Okay.
On the corner of, I'm thinking right now, 45th and Broadway right there, there is a hot dog vendor and he's been there for years and he's going to be on the west side of 45th and 8th.
Okay.
And almost close to, there's a new ice cream shop there too. I don't know if, I forget the name of it, but there's a gelato or ice cream shop right there too.
Okay.
That's where you would be. And I think he's been there for years. He's well known. And that's where I would go to get a classic New York City hot dog. I mean, you can get one anywhere, to be honest with you. I mean, they're good everywhere.
Yeah.
But that's where I would go to that one. But anywhere, I think they're good. Yeah, I'm also thinking, my mind is scanning around the city right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Bryant Park too, there's hot dog vendors too. But yeah, I think they're all pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not super trustworthy of food trucks.
Right.
I have a very sensitive tummy, so I'm just kind
of
staying away from food trucks. But yeah, I'd say that when I'd go out with my grandma, she used to get hot dogs in Central Park. So
I was gonna say that too.
Like the Central Park ones are a little more trustworthy, but.
But with that being said, you know, I talk about the letter grades a lot of times in my live videos.
Yeah.
You know, every single restaurant has to have a letter grade.
Yeah.
It is because they are inspected by the health department every year.
Yeah.
I think two times a year, actually. Or maybe once a year. But anyway, they're inspected by the health department every single restaurant. So they have to have that letter grade A in their window. Because if they get a B or a C, it's not good. It could ruin them.
Yes.
And so, but
I've definitely not gone to restaurants with a B.
Right, me too. But the thing is, they changed it a few years ago, or added on, I should say, any place that sells food, hot food or whatever, or, you know, dishes out food to the public, I should say. So, for instance, all the food carts have to have a letter grade.
Oh,
so that makes me feel more, you know what? That made me feel more comfortable eating from the food carts now.
Yeah.
Because now I look for that letter grade A and you will see it on every single food cart, be it in Times Square, even like Madison Square Garden, all the places that sell food, anything, any concession stand, any food stand in New York City, any place that sells food, no matter what it is, it has to have that letter grade.
Yes.
And that has really helped me helped me feel more comfortable eating from these vendors, wherever they may be, whomever they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's important. Pay attention, you guys, to that letter grade. It must have an A.
Yes.
Because otherwise, if it's a B, it's just a slight infraction. Maybe there's some standing water or, you know, when I worked at a restaurant in the past, maybe even a little thing like the cappuccino machine had some foam on it still. That's an infraction, you know, things like that. So look for that A. It's important.
Yeah.
Mary Alvarez has a question, Jay. She says, I notice when New Yorkers cross the street, they don't wait for the light signal to turn white, meaning the walking sign. Is this suggestive then to a New Yorker? Like, do they have to follow this sign, basically? Yeah. And will you get ticketed if a cop is nearby?
So that's a good question. I think that when you grow up and live in New York and spend enough time in New York, you can kind of understand the flow of traffic and have a good idea as to look both ways before you go. But not only look both ways, but like, I think you have a better understanding of your surroundings, right?
And right.
You're very aware of what's happening. Like even when I'm walking on my phone, I'm still very aware of like my surroundings,
correct,
where I am and what I'm going. And so I think that a lot of New Yorkers just understand the flow of traffic. And if they can see a car that's not coming, or if they see like whatever, they know to go and not necessarily wait for the white light to the walking man.
The walking man.
Yeah. But I'd still say that I think, as you say on your tour, is to do as I say, not as I do.
Yes.
When it comes to crossing the street.
I'd say it all the time.
I'd say that whoever, if you're coming just to visit, just wait for the light.
Yeah.
You're not in a rush.
Yeah.
If you're visiting, you're on vacation, take your time.
Yeah, it's
but
true.
Yeah, I think that a lot of New Yorkers are always in a rush.
Yep.
They want to get to where they're going, make the train, make the bus, get to work on time. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so if you can make the calculative risk to cross the street without the light, go for it. But if you're not a New Yorker, don't listen to that.
Yes, I agree. You know, it's funny. I never wait for the light. And yeah. I feel like I say, do as I say, not as I do.
Right.
Do as I say, not as I do. Is that the phrase? Now I'm,
yeah, do as
been
I
a
say,
long
not
day.
As I do.
Yeah. And, I feel like you just, after so much time, you know, I've been here over a decade now, you just get you feel the vibe of the city or the pulse of the city, and you understand how it works. And so cars will not, I'm not saying they won't 100%, but cars won't run you over.
Yeah.
I say this to the city, I always say this, you know, cars wait for us. We don't wait for them.
Yeah.
And I think that's for people who live here too. It's a silent understood rule in a sense. I don't want to say rule. Maybe that's too much. It's a silent
understood, like
unsaid rule.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say. And, you know, I just look, I look to the left, to the right, whatever, you know, quickly and just walk. And if a car is coming, I kind of wave at them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I just know. And no one honks at me ever.
Yeah.
You know, because New Yorkers here who are driving, they get it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're driving in the city, I feel like they get it.
Yeah.
But as a tourist, wait for the light always. Yes. That's my rule.
Yeah.
You know, because it is, we are seasoned pros at this.
Yes.
You know, it takes some time. Like I said, it took me some years to feel it. You have to feel it.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You have to get that feel.
Yeah.
You have to feel the pulse of the city and then you'll get it. And it just naturally works. But, you know, like I said, the right thing to do is to wait. But, you know, you won't get a ticket either.
No, you're not going to get a ticket.
I mean, I walk in Times Square right past the cop. I mean, and I see tourists all looking, you know. Sometimes I heard people, you know, like, what's that guy doing, you know? You know, and I'm just like, I'm in a hurry thinking, you know, but you know, I walk toward the cop you know, right.
Yeah.
And then I could brush shoulders with the cop.
No, I always,
they don't do anything.
Jaywalking is illegal in other places. Well, I guess,
don't
like
you always jaywalk?
Hair, like, I do always jaywalk.
His name is Jay.
My name. We're always jaywalking.
Yeah. What were you going to say?
I forget that it's illegal other places.
Oh, me too.
People actually get like ticketed or jaywalking.
I wonder what I would do if like another, if I was back in Orlando and I got a jaywalking ticket, I'd be like, what are you doing?
You're like,
you
what know? Is that?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, but I like that too. I mean, these are all great questions. These are really good questions.
All right, and we have one more question.
Oh, we do?
Which we turned into a little game.
So, oh, okay.
Frank Colombo Bayer asks, some viewers may not know what SOHO stands for. So we got, what?
You said so, I said ho.
Oh. Let's
throw that over. Oh, that was good. I think we should keep that in there too.
So we're going to do a little game and I'm going to ask Kelly a list of a few New York abbreviations and we're going to see if he knows what they are.
Oh,
that sound good?
No. I act like I mean, people come to my pages because they think I know a lot. Now I'm a little nervous.
Now we'll test to see if you are actually the expert. All right. Ooh. So first one is SOHO.
That means south of Houston, which looks like Houston.
Yeah.
But it is pronounced Houston.
Exactly.
So it's south of Houston. If you're visiting New York City, you never say Houston. You say Houston, just to let you know.
What is NoHo?
Well, that would be the opposite. North of Houston.
Great.
Awesome.
The MoMA?
MoMA?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, now that I think, is it Modern Museum of Art?
Museum of Modern Art.
Oh, I was like, what's the O? Yeah. See, Museum of Modern Art. Yeah. It's been a long day. Just that's my excuse. Museum of Modern Art. Yeah.
LES.
Oh, Lower East Side.
UWS.
Upper West Side.
MTA.
The Mass Transportation Authority. Manhattan. What is it? Give me a second. Give me a second. Transportation Authority, right?
Yeah. Well, what's the M?
Oh, and I say Manhattan?
No.
Metro?
Metro.
Transportation Authority?
You said
Metropolitan Transportation Authority. Oh, I'm a little embarrassed.
MSG.
Mana, it's like you put it in your food. Madison Square Garden.
Yes. Bed-Stuy.
That's an abbreviation?
Yeah.
What is it?
Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Oh, I knew that.
Yeah. Nomad.
North of Madison Square Park or just north of Madison? Yeah, north of Madison Square Park.
Yeah. Dumbo.
Oh, yeah, I would be dumb if I didn't know this. Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
Yeah, Manhattan Brooklyn overpass, but...
What'd I say?
Bridge.
No, it's bridge. It is bridge.
Is it? I looked in the article. It said Brooklyn.
It's bridge. 100% bridge. Down under the Manhattan Bridge overpass.
LIRR.
Long Island Railroad.
Tribeca.
The Triangle Below Canal Street.
I didn't know that one.
Oh, you didn't know it?
No.
Oh, I feel better.
GWB.
Oh, that's my hood. Right across, right outside my apartment building, the George Washington Bridge.
The Met.
Metropolitan Museum of Art?
Yep. WTC?
World Trade Center.
And finally, NYC.
I don't know that one. New York City.
Great. Awesome. You got all of them except for Bed-Stuy. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know Bed-Stuy. Where is Bed-Stuy? In Brooklyn, obviously.
It's in Brooklyn, yeah.
I've heard of it. Obviously, I know, but I didn't know it was an abbreviation.
Yeah, it's... For Bedford Stuyvesant.
Oh, yeah, I did know that. Yeah. Oh, cool. Jay, thank you for joining us today, as usual, this week, for this episode of the New Yorkers podcast. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you on social media?
So you can follow me at StudioJ170 on Instagram and Facebook.
Once again, my friends, I am your host, Kelly Kopp, also known as New York City Kopp across all social media.
Please like and subscribe to the New Yorkers podcast. You can follow the New Yorkers on social media at the New Yorkers podcast.
You can leave a rating or a comment to let us know how you are enjoying the show. We read through all your comments and DMs, so please, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, Ryan's World of Gaming, Denzel, and Annie for your kind words on the last episode. If you want to be featured at the end of an episode, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or a comment on Spotify.
And thank you, Daniel, Jalexis, Craig Nody, for your comments and feedback. And above all else, my mom and dad, for all of your encouragement and support.
Have a lovely day, and we will see you next Sunday.
Goodbye.
This is the last stop on this train. Everyone, please leave the train. Thank you for riding with MTA New York City Transit.